you have any experience in motion pictures?
Active renter at Blockbuster.
Can we talk about something other than Hollywood for a change?
Ms. Taken. You know Mr. Taken from the Taken movies. This is his niece.
The studio makes pictures to serve the system.
Your job is to rate movies on a scale from good to excellent.
Hollywood has always loved making movies about, well, Hollywood. And few directors have made their love of cinema more apparent than Quentin Tarantino. This week, he's out with a new movie that places the golden age of Hollywood front and center. Here's a moment from it.
And if your dudes were a better match for me, I'd say, oh, okay, you got me. But that's not the case, and you know it. He's a great match for
me.
Hey, you could do anything you want to him. Throw him off a building, right? Light him on fire. Hit him with a Lincoln, right? Get creative. Do whatever you want. He's just happy for the opportunity.
That was Leonardo DiCaprio as actor Rick Dalton talking about his loyal stuntmen played by Brad Pitt in Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And while those central characters are fictional, the movie also features Margot Robbie as real-life actress Sharon Tate, who was murdered by members of the Manson family in 1969. Tarantino's decision to dramatize Tate's life and death has been raising some eyebrows in the run-up to the film's release. When Once Upon a Time in Hollywood premiered in May, a New York Times reporter asked the director why Margot Robbie, as Tate, has relatively few lines in the film. Tarantino declined to answer the question.
Well, I just reject your hypotheses.
It's not the first time Tarantino and his work has been subject to scrutiny, especially when it comes to portrayals of women, his depictions of Black American culture, and the use of racial slurs. And I have two guests joining me now in the studio. Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway. Welcome, Rafer.
Hi, Tanzina.
And Allison Wilmore is a critic and culture writer for BuzzFeed News. Great to have you back, Allison.
I'm so happy to be here.
So let's start with both of your takes on the film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Allison, did you like it?
I did like it.
You did?
I liked it more than I actually had anticipated and more than I've liked his last three movies. So this is the first time in a while where I felt like Quentin Tarantino has made a movie that felt populated by actual human beings.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Rafer, what about you? Did you like it? Thumbs up?
Yeah, I was a little different than Allison. It was sort of more of a slow burn for me. I kind of walked out of the movie feeling a little bit on the fence, but then it's really stuck with me. And in the end, I really felt like, you know, even though it may not be his strongest work, I really felt like it's still just, he's still a great filmmaker and it's a really fun ride.
So we're going to get into some of the more controversial elements of Tarantino and his work. And at the top, we mentioned his depiction of Sharon Tate and her murder. That's generated a lot of controversy among those who haven't actually seen the film yet. What did you both make of Tate's role in the film?
Well, I think it would be a mistake to describe the movie as one that's specifically about her or about the Manson murders. Her story kind of runs in parallel to the main friendship that is between these two men that is the focus of the story. And, you know, it's about their kind of relationship and about how they're both kind of fading out of Hollywood at this particular time that's like in between eras. It's really a love letter to kind of not great TV, forgettable TV. But I think it's pretty tender and thoughtful with Tate in terms of trying to kind of pull her away from this horrifying death that has come to be her like the main reason she's remembered. She becomes this person, you know, and I don't think she's the main focus of the film, but she's kind of allowed to be a three-dimensional character.
There's another thing that's come up throughout Tarantino's career, and that's the frequent use of the N-word in his films, and particularly when his white characters say it. Is that something that makes it hard to sort of go back and watch some of his previous movies, Rafer, like Pulp Fiction and Django Unchained and things like that?
You know, not for me. I think Django Unchained, it is a problematic film, I think, because it is so violent, and I think people scratch their heads a little bit. The same way they did a little bit with Inglourious Basterds. You know, why is Quentin Tarantino, a white guy, taking on this black story? So, you know, he's not Jewish. Why is he taking on this Jewish story in Inglourious Basterds? But I don't think that means he had bad intentions, and I think Quentin Tarantino was doing this kind of thing long before there was this big push of pressure on Hollywood to do these things, to cast a black male action hero, to cast Uma Thurman, a woman as an action hero in the two Kill Bill films. I think he was doing this kind of stuff a little bit ahead of his time, frankly.
Rafer, you mentioned Uma Thurman. He's made several movies starring Uma Thurman. Those movies were all produced by Harvey Weinstein. And here's what Thurman said on a red carpet around the time that the Weinstein scandal first broke in October 2017.
When I've spoken in anger, I usually regret the way I express myself. So I've been waiting to feel less angry. And when I'm ready, I'll say what I have to say.
In an interview with the New York Times in February 2018, Uma Thurman talked about being assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. She also said that she was pressured by Tarantino to do a dangerous car stunt while she was filming Kill Bill. Allison, remind us what happened there.
Well, she, you know, had pushed back. She said she was not a stunt person. She didn't want to do this stunt. And there was a crash and she injured herself and had a concussion, you know. And I think when you read that story, a lot of the pain is not just the injury, but the fact that Quentin Tarantino was so kind of unapologetic about it. He didn't show, like, refused to share the footage with her, you know, for years. She had to really fight. And it was a huge betrayal of this collaboration. You know, they created the character of the bride together. And I think it's hard to watch those movies, which I've loved those movies, you know, and I think he puts so many kind of great, complicated women on screen. At the same time, you can't not think about that when you watch them.
You hinted, Rafer, at the fact that this might be one of the last Tarantino films that we get to see. I mean, and Tarantino has said in the past that he plans to retire after directing 10 films. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is number 9.
Yep.
Whether or not he does retire, where does Tarantino fit into the Hollywood of 2019 and beyond? And I'll pose that question to both of you.
You know, for me, he's one of the last true cinephiles and one of the last real filmmakers around. I was just thinking to myself when I walked out of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood about, God, what would happen if Netflix got a hold of him? That would just be it would kill me. I don't think that's going to happen because I think he's a real holdout. And one of the things I loved about this film was it just felt like a real movie. You know, I love the Marvel movies, but those are widgets out of a factory. And this was a real person's vision, an original screenplay. My God, an original screenplay.
Shocking.
And, you know, and it just, for all its flaws, it still grabbed me and it still felt like one person's vision up on the screen. And I loved that. And that's one of the things I love about Tarantino.
Yeah, he's made a lot of work I've loved, but I think also you have to think of him as maybe this one of the last holdouts of the director as this kind of godlike figure as well. And there are negative parts of that that have include, you know, what happened to Uma Thurman, include how, you know, back in 2003, he like wrote off the Polanski rape. He since apologized for it, but he was very much like dismissive of it, you know, and the way that he has said that he knew more than just rumors about Harvey Weinstein, but chose not to speak up because Harvey Weinstein was, you know, his great champion. And I think there is something about that attitude that I am glad to see go, in that you are willing to allow other people to get hurt on behalf of your own work. And I think, you know, you lose things with that in terms of this kind of great author of a filmmaker who has this incredible vision. At the same time, you gain some things in terms of just protecting other people who work with you. That mindset is slowly kind of going away.
All right. Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway. Allison Wilmore is a critic and culture writer for BuzzFeed News. Thanks to you both. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.